100.3 WRNB Media Philadelphia. It's old school 100.3. Good morning. Court Radio is now in session. Call 215-263-1003. When you've got legal questions, we've got the answers. This is Court Radio. And now, here's your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning. I'm Dean Weitzman, and this is Court Radio. Welcome to another hour of legal power. I'm joined in the studio by my co-host, the one and only David Rappaport.
Hello, good morning.
Hello there, hello. David. You weren't here last week. I'm sorry,
and I might not be here. I won't be here next week either. Sorry about that.
We'll have a guest in your place, but nobody measures
no
up.
No one can.
Nobody measures up to the effectiveness.
Yes, the brilliance,
the intellect.
The intellect, the brilliance, the
of
legal.
The Washington High School graduate.
There you go, yeah. What middle school did I go to? Baldy. Yeah,
Baldy, that's of course. Baldy. You know, we had kids from Baldy at Spruance for 1 year when Baldy was under construction.
Yeah.
Would have been probably the year before you got there.
Mm-hmm. Because you're much older.
Yeah, much. okay, folks, it is July.
February, wow.
July 28th, the weather outside is decent.
Well, yesterday it's going to rain today. Though.
Yesterday was so lovely.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Low humidity and just
breezy.
It was perfect.
It was.
Reminded me that fall is on the way. That's why I love Philadelphia, because we have four seasons.
Yep.
You know? It's really wonderful.
I do like the four seasons.
All right. Things are in the news.
I meant the place. You know?
Yeah.
No. The news. We got some cool news stories.
Yeah, let's...
Which one you want to dive into first? Florida?
Sure, why not?
Yeah, that's the one. We all... Another reason not to go to Florida.
There you go.
Gunman kills six in a Florida apartment shooting rampage. That's all you really need to read. Do you need to know anything more than that?
No. Stay away from Florida. It's a bad state.
They needed a SWAT team to enter.
And when you're looking for a place to visit, don't go to Texas either.
No.
Both two bad states.
As I said last time, it's been repeated a couple times, I understand, is...
All right, we got
saw them off at the property line and let them float away.
we have the largest of jury verdict this week, David.
Yes, yes.
$18.6 million.
Now you would think, what kind of catastrophic
injury
or life changing event occurred to $18.6 million to warrant that? What was it?
This was a brewing for a long time. I've been threatening this forever. An Oregon jury. Oregon, of all places.
Yeah, well,
you know, they're peace-loving and...
Pretty progressive, though, I would think, right?
I guess.
I don't know.
Obviously. They will not have anything from one of these companies that monitors our credit. Equifax was under the gun in Oregon and took an $18 million hit when a woman in Oregon who had tried for 2 years to get them to clean up her credit report. There were problems. There were inaccuracies.
Yeah, they had a wrong social security number, apparently, and her birthday. 8 times in 2 years, doesn't sound like a lot. But.
8 times in 2 years she called them to get her record cleaned up because they had mistakes, and it was affecting her ability to borrow money. And that's an important thing, folks.
Well, she had a brother who was disabled. He couldn't get credit, and she couldn't help him because she couldn't get credit. And that was the gist of the lawsuit.
Her actual losses were $180,000. They awarded her $180,000 in compensatory damages and $18.4 million in punitives.
Yeah, and this is why punitive damages are so important, because $180,000 to Equifax is like a pimple on the earth. You know, they wouldn't even stop their activity. They do it again. They'd say, "What, for 180, we'll screw everyone's credit up." but for 18.4 slapping them, I think they're going to think twice next time they fail to act to fix your credit.
Yeah. So, you know, you're not powerless, folks. If you really believe that these credit reporting agencies have false information. Otherwise, you would be credit worthy, but for the false information, inaccurate information, and you have attempted on numerous occasions in writing to get them to change it, well, you always have the court system to fall back on.
Hey, you know, I have to mention this other story, because you and I sometimes frequent one of those, I guess we could say the name of it, the Whole Foods establishment, you know?
Yes.
We go there, we get some natural and organic.
Of course we could say the name of it.
Because we like the place.
And it's our show.
And it's our, we can say whatever we want. Well, yeah, within reason. Yeah. But anyway, I think they sell this product, as a lot of health places do. It's called Naked Juice, which is, it's almost like a smoothie type juice, and it's all, you know, real thick green and orange. And
yeah, it's not for me. I steer clear of that.
But it's supposed to be all healthy and everything. Yeah. Well, they've just been forced to take away the label all natural, which leads you to the
conclusion.
Well, the idea of what does that mean? Like, what is in it if it's not
all chemicals?
Yeah, and it
irks you.
It does, because you can't believe any. You want to go and buy something healthy. You're trying to stay healthy, let's say. You want to drink something that's going to help you. And if you can't believe the late, especially at a Whole Foods when it says it's all natural and organic or whatever, I mean, it's just crazy. It drives me nuts.
So in essence, you're mentioning Whole Foods and then dissing them in the same
sentence. No. Well, this isn't a Whole Foods. They didn't make this product.
They carry it.
We may have to bring that up to them.
215-263-1003. I am so sorry for not giving out the number originally.
Oh, yes. This is great, though. I have to say this, though.
Wait.
Go ahead. Stop. You finish.
215. Folks, if you're listening to David Nye, and I know you are, don't be passing that dial around. Just pick it up and give us a call on your phone. 215-263-1003. You'll get into the studio where we'll answer your legal questions one at a time. All right, go ahead, David.
I was just going to say, normally, 90% of the time, a corporation will argue that there's too much regulation. They're regulated too much. That's why they can't do this or that. In passing, this Naked Juice story, you know, it was mislabeled. Their blame for the labeling confusion was...
I often hear when you say Naked Juice, you're not pronunciating it very very clearly. I'm thinking of like Uncle Jaime running around naked.
Okay.
Yeah, come on.
Maybe that's a new product.
Yeah, Naked Jews running around in Philadelphia.
Anyway,
I don't think so, but... you know, maybe...
Naked Juice.
Yeah, there you go. That's better.
That. Naked Juice. They they blamed it on the... oh, man. Dean is on the floor laughing right now. They're blaming the feds, saying that... the government, saying that there wasn't enough guidance in what can be called natural and what can't be called natural.
There you go.
How do you like that argument?
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, be careful.
Yeah. Nothing's natural unless you probably cooked it at home.
Yeah, made it yourself.
On a sad note, David.
What's that?
This week, the funeral was held for the mom and her kids that perished as a result of the racing vehicles on the Roosevelt Boulevard.
Yeah.
It was. It's sad, and there's memorials for all of them along the boulevard. They were raising money all week long for the funerals, and they have been put to rest. I say that, folks, we have to take it slower on the Roosevelt Boulevard. It's not a speedway or raceway, and there are pedestrians crossing constantly at all locations.
Especially on the boulevard.
Yeah. 215-263-1003. You have legal questions. David and I have the answer. You know, so many people, they give me a call during the week, and they say, I want to thank you for you and David for your show. Because I really didn't have anybody to ask that question, because frequently legal questions can be costly to get an answer. You know, you got to go talk to one of us during the week when we're in suits.
Right. And when we're in suits, we have to pay for them. So,
yeah, today we're in pajamas.
Right.
215-263-1003. Last story before we move on to our hot button topic.
Which one you want to do?
Wiener.
Wiener, I knew it. I knew you wanted the wiener one. Wiener can't keep his wiener out of the news.
Yeah. Anthony D. Wiener's mayoral campaign in New York. He's running for mayor. I guess Bloomberg's done. He can't be mayor anymore. He's been mayor 57 times. And so there's going to be an election in New York for mayor, and Anthony Weiner, who previously was in office.
Yeah, he was actually wasn't he a congressman?
Congressman,
New York I think
had
it was
a bright had a bright future.
Sure,
and fizzled out because he was sexting.
Yeah, he a picture of his
penis.
Well, no, it was clothed though. It wasn't. But anyway, I know too much about that.
definitely.
Yeah, all it was one picture, and obviously he's married, so it wasn't to his wife, and that created an issue as well. But the thing is, this is hilarious. The woman at the center of this latest scandal, this is a different woman now saying that she sexted him, and this is after the scandal. So this is in between his removal from Congress and trying to get back in. He was doing it. She called him a, quote, perpetually horny middle-aged man, end quote. To which I would say, what middle-aged man isn't perpetually horny?
Yeah. Okay, now you definitely have said too much.
I know.
215-263-1003. The thing I find strange about the Weiner story,
yes,
and I'll leave it at that,
mm-hmm,
is his proclamation,
yes,
that he doesn't suffer with an addiction, in light of the fact of all the bad things that happened. Okay, you would think, well, if you put your hand on fire and you pull it off, you're not putting your hand back there.
Like, right,
you only need one time to realize it's hot.
That's a bad place to go, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So when somebody keeps on going back to the same thing and getting hurt by it, you have to wonder what it's all about.
Yeah, I mean, there are consequences to his actions, and these consequences are dire in the negative. He lost his job, he lost his public. So you're absolutely right. Why would you go back and do that when there's the consequences? You're running for mayor.
Right.
And then, so obviously
he's addicted, all right. He's addicted. And my
Whoa, but I'm bumped.
My advice to Anthony Weiner is that he call Chris Christie and they start a 12-step group of politicians who are addicted.
Yeah, okay.
There you go. 215-263-1003. Let's talk to Mikey from South Jersey on a collection agency issue. Hey, Mike.
How you doing?
All right. What do you think about that? $18 million. You wanna get in line now, don't you?
Yeah, something like that, But I had surgery 2 years ago, and since the economy crashed, I've been trying to catch up on all my bills, and I'm doing pretty good now. And I got this one bill for some reason went to collection agency, and I got on the phone with the people one time, and they told me they don't send no statements out. I've been paying monthly over and over, and I told them, I need a statement. I want to pay this in full.
Right.
And I wrote to them twice with my number and my cell number, and twice I have not gotten a response. I lost their number, and the collection agency is gone from a bank. I called a bank to find out, the number to this collection agency. And when I gave them the address, they said, no, that's a post office box number. That's just a pickup. And to this day, I have not, received anything. And I've been paying like over 6 or 7 months, and I'm ready to pay this bill off. And a friend of mine told me, well, just write them a letter for the third time that if they don't send you a statement, you're going to consider the bill paid in full. Can I do that or no?
Absolutely, you could do it. I don't know that legally it has any effect on them. I mean, if you legally still owed the bill, your accusation or threat that you will consider it paid off isn't going to be binding on them. However, I hope that you're sending these things, when you send something written, send it certified mail, return receipt requested, so that you have proof that you sent it. One of those little green cards the post office gets the recipient to sign and send back to you. Otherwise, it's just going to still be your word against theirs.
Yeah, I think the debt collection law requires them, if you dispute or ask for clarification of the debt, that they have to send you the information on what the debt is, how much it is, when it was incurred, all that. They have to do that. They can't just ignore you.
All right, Mikey, all right, we got... We got to run, but please make sure you get it in writing and do it today.
I will.
215-263-1003. Folks, we're going to move on to our hot button topic. David?
Yes.
This is something near and dear to us.
It is.
Did you know, David, that the U.S. ranks 39th in the world for maternal mortality?
I did.
39th. Behind third world countries.
Yes, it's crazy.
Women giving birth are dying at an alarming rate in the United States. It's really strange. I have some theories about that, but we have some guests who are smarter than me.
That's not hard to do, but in deference to them, they are very acclaimed.
Yes, we have Dr. Kristoff from Temple University. Welcome, Kathleen Kristoff.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. And on the line, Eleanor Hinton Hoyt. Good morning, Eleanor.
Good morning.
Eleanor is the president and CEO of the Black Women's Health Imperative. She's in Washington and calling in. And Dr. Kristoff and Dr. Hoyt both are going to talk to us about why is it that we rank so low or so high in women's mortality as a result of childbirth. We're going to talk about that when we get back. I'll tell you something. I am of the opinion, David, that the malpractice reform, they call it reform, I call it malpractice deform, that is going on in other parts of the country, I think plays a part in sloppy doctoring. But that's just my opinion. Let's see what ladies have to say about that when we come back in 2 minutes.
If your child was injured at birth, if you were the victim of a medical mistake, or if you were hurt in a workplace or automobile accident, choosing the right legal representation is critical to getting the compensation you deserve. I'm Dean Weitzman from My Philly Lawyer. We've collected over $100 million for our clients, and we won't stop until your future is secure. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
If you've been injured, the road to recovery can seem long. At United Therapy Centers, we're here to help. Call us 877-510-7764. With leading-edge technology and our team approach, we provide the highest level of patient care with a pain management program developed just for you. If you've been injured, we can help. Call United Therapy Centers toll-free 877-510-7764. United Therapy Centers, get on the road to recovery.
Are you in a financial legal squeeze? Unable to work because of an accident with your legal case still not settled? Lawsuit Funding Solutions can help you pay the bills while you wait. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 877-697-7352. It can take time for a lawsuit to settle. Lawsuit Funding Solutions is here to help you get back on track. And you won't owe them a thing if your case doesn't settle or you don't receive a judgment. Get out of the squeeze today. Call 877-697-7352.
If you've been injured on the job and are entitled to workers' comp, you need someone fighting for you from the start. Call Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Don't rely on your employer or insurance company to get it right. Call 215-512-1500. If you're entitled to workers' comp or it's being challenged, Jeffrey Gross can help get the money you deserve, and he won't get paid unless you get paid. Call 215-512-1500. Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law, representing Pennsylvania's injured workers for more than 20 years.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman, on Old School 100.3.
Okay, folks, we're back in action. And as I promised, you were going to be talking about what's causing us to be ranked 39th in the world in maternal deaths as a result of childbirth. I'm joined in the studio with Dr. Kathleen Kristoff, MD, OBGYN, board certified, and previously of Temple. Welcome to the show, Dr. Kristoff.
Thank you so much.
What are you doing now? You just left Temple recently.
I'm about to embark the second phase of my career and beginning the School of Public Health at Drexel University.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that sounds interesting and challenging. We have also Eleanor Hinton Hoyt, who's the president and CEO of the Black Women's Health Imperative. And Ms. Hinton Hoyt wrote, co-authored the book, Health First, The Black Woman's Wellness Guide, Health First, published by Smiley Books in February 2012. Calling in from Washington, is it?
Yes, I am.
All right. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having
me. Oh, it's my pleasure. So, ladies, I'm interested to hear this. First of all, let me ask Dr. Kristoff, what is causing all of these deaths? Why are we ranked so low?
Well, first, let me start with the definition of what maternal mortality is. And that actually is the death due to maternal causes, includes death due to causes related to or aggravated by the pregnancy or pregnancy management, but it excludes death occurring more than 42 days from our data after the end of pregnancy and deaths of pregnant women due to external causes, for instance, injury. Now, the data has shown that the direct pregnancy deaths or obstetric death due from what's occurring perhaps in pregnancy, labor, or immediately after delivery actually have been going down. What has actually we've been capturing more is the indirect obstetric deaths, which were those resulting from previous existing disease or disease that developed during pregnancy and not due to the direct obstetric causes. For example, diabetes, drugs, infections, including HIV, AIDS, tuberculosis, all of those indirect causes of obstetric death have gone up. So we do have a moral and an obligation, basically, to address those issues as providers, and we can actually make an effect in getting those numbers down.
Is there a relationship? Let me ask you this. Is there a relationship between maternal death and the method of birth? In other words, cesarean section, does that cause more maternal deaths than vaginal delivery?
Cesarean section is an operation, and it does have increased risk of complications, and it does increase your effect of maternal mortality. The complications that can occur with C-sections are numerous, hemorrhage being one of them, the scar tissue formation that occurs after the surgery or from previous surgeries. So, yes, they do increase that risk of maternal mortality.
Okay. So now, am I all wrong about the fact that there may be a greater amount of mortality in those areas where they're protecting the doctors the most, where the doctors have bought the politicians and convinced them to give them extra special protection when it comes to their negligence? States like Texas and other states where they are actually not responsible to the same level that they would be, say, here in Pennsylvania.
I'm not sure what those laws are in Texas, but because of our malpractice situation, any issue that relates to health care is considered pretty significant in our state. And it's not something that we take lightly as physicians.
I'll tell you something, David. I think that in certain states where doctors only have a $250,000 potential liability, the data has shown that there is an increased risk of negligence in those states. 215-263-1003. Let's take a couple calls and we'll come back to this interesting topic. Let's hit Robin from Norristown. Good morning, Robin, and welcome to Court Radio.
Good morning.
I have a
question I wanted to ask you.
Yeah.
I was in a car accident in February. And I was going through a green light, and somebody else went through the red light and T-boned my car, totaled it. But the question I wanted to ask is afterwards, I was told by his insurance company that I was not supposed to pay any out-of-pocket expense. But then later on, I started getting out-of-pocket expense. The loan company that I had my car with got paid by my insurance company for the value of the car, but they said I still had $2,000 and something left that wasn't paid. It was tacked on at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay, but now I had to get another car so I can go back and forth to work. So accident would have made me paying two car loans.
Oh, we know what that is. We know exactly what that is. I'm going to explain it to you right now, real quick.
Well, let me just jump in with a quick question. Robin, were you represented by an attorney in that accident?
No, I wasn't. I thought everything was going to be paid.
So yeah.
I didn't try, but I did say.
You thought wrong.
Yeah, well, that's the first lesson. And you, unfortunately, you're going to be today's example of what not to do.
Yes. Well, first, you have to get an attorney, and here's why. Because you didn't know something that was fairly easy to know if someone had told you, and that is when you got your car, when you purchased it, you should have gotten what's called gap insurance.
And
you did have gap insurance?
Yes, I did have gap insurance.
Well, then you don't know, then you shouldn't owe that $2,000 because your gap insurance pays for what you owe in excess of what the car was worth.
Yeah, you need to get in touch with the gap insurance company or have the bank get in touch with the gap insurance company. Because if that $2,000 is the difference between the value of your car and what you owed, that's exactly what gap is there for.
You did the right thing.
Yeah.
Well, you're thinking correctly.
Now, if that $2,000 was for some other reason, like, I don't know, rental car, I can't think of any reason why the other company, if they've acknowledged their fault, why they wouldn't pay for anything else except for the difference between the value of your car and the loan amount. But, you know, that's what happens when you're involved in accidents. There's hidden costs that you need to explore. And you should have representation. Next time, give us a call at My Philly Lawyer, 215-227-2727.
Okay.
All right. Take care.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Listen, shameless plug, yes, but it's the truth.
Very shameless.
She should have had us, and we would have been having a different conversation now. She'd be cashing that check for $18 million. Well, $18.4 million, to be exact. 215-263-1003. It just went out of my head. I'm sorry. Okay. Let's talk to Eleanor. Eleanor, who's called in from Washington, is sitting quietly by the side in the weeds. Hello, Eleanor.
Hello.
So jump into this conversation. We do have a caller who's calling about maternal mortality, which we're going to get on the air. But before we do, I want to hear what you're thinking about this.
I think that we have to acknowledge that this is one of a national shame. It's a national tragedy and a national shame that we don't talk about enough, and we place blame. And I would say that we don't know enough either, that we really don't know why Black women are dying from being pregnant. We are going along. There are very few hospitals, there are very few funders and providers or the media really concerned about the high and unforgivable maternal death rates in this country. We spend $98 billion a year on pregnancy.
You know, you bring up a great point, Eleanor, and one that we've glossed over up till now, and I want to put an exclamation point at the end of that statement. We're talking about being number 39th in the world. One of the reasons we're 39th in the world is because African Americans are dying probably three or four times the rate of Caucasian pregnant women.
That's true.
And so the real question then, if we want to bring ourselves up to the first world instead of being third world, is how do we prevent African American mortality from giving birth?
Well, what does this have to do with maybe access to health care?
Well, that's what I was going to bring up.
Okay.
I think that's one of the leading causes. We have over 40 million Americans in this country who lack insurance. And we hope that with this new change with the Affordable Care Act, that this will significantly have an impact on our maternal mortality, with more pregnant women seeking and able to get insurance. Lack of insurance, patients who are high versus low income, living in rural versus urban areas, all of those demographic factors play a role in access to health care and as far as getting adequate prenatal care. So we're hoping to see a difference.
Go ahead, Eleanor.
And I agree that the Affordable Care Act should make a difference, but that still, I believe, does not explain why we do not know a focus on African-American women. But we also need to focus on the healthcare system. We have hospitals that don't identify and don't have things in place to deal with high-risk pregnancies. We have providers who don't give the kind of care that they should be given to women who are pregnant. We have the government who have not really defined maternal mortality in a way that can capture what really is going on, because states, we don't have the surveillance system in place, nor the tools or the will.
Right. I was going to say, you identified the high risk, you know, like disease and things that the woman might have as increase, and I'm wondering whether our healthcare system is equipped, even doctors, if they're equipped to not only recognize those risks but deal with them in a pregnancy, rather than just sort of ignoring them and they come out and then the pregnancy goes south and that's it.
Well, according to our training in this country, yes, we are well trained, I believe, in diagnosing and managing high-risk pregnancies. One of the factors with minority women is that we have a higher risk of chronic conditions. So there are other things that we present with, such as hypertension, diabetes, those issues, which make a pregnancy a high risk. And if they're presenting into prenatal care at a later rate, there are a number of issues that have not been addressed. For example, the medication that they may be on may not be suitable for the pregnancy. If these patients have other high-risk issues, such as asthma, is it being well-maintained or controlled? So that plays a significant role. Another factor is obesity in minority populations. That definitely increases your C-section rate, increases your risk of developing hypertension in the pregnancy, as well as diabetes. So all of those factors, it's so multifactorial, but those are definitely ones that we can address and that we can help our patients address.
The bottom line is that pregnancy and giving birth is like a race, you know, and if you're going into the race obese, out of shape, you know, with other factors going on, you're not going to make it to the end of the race. And so we need to, you know, that whole area needs to be addressed. But let's get some listeners in on this conversation. Let's talk to Lisa from Philly, who has a comment on maternal mortality. Lisa, welcome to Court Radio.
Hi, how are you?
We're doing well, thanks. And we want to hear what you have to say.
Well, I'm a nurse, and I work in a big university hospital. And I've been doing this for over 25 years. And I have seen women getting bigger and bigger. And what we're doing to respond to it is making bigger equipment. Nobody's addressing the actual obesity issue or the... A lot of women, because of OBs, have closed in the city. They don't have access to care. So when they present to us, often it's late, and they are behind the gun. They may have diabetes. They may have asthma, and it's aggravated by their pregnancy. And now we're consulting all these different services to help them when it's, like, already late in the pregnancy.
So you're saying, if I could, that there needs to be more responsibility earlier on, but it sounds also like there needs to be more responsibility by the women themselves. I mean, again, we get back to, look, you want to get pregnant, you want to have a baby, that's great, but you have to realize that there's risks involved, and you need to get in the best health possible before you undertake that. Otherwise, you're jeopardizing your life.
Yeah, but it's very easy to blame the women. And let's be real clear here. I have to emphasize that we don't really know why, because we don't have the tools or the will to really find out. We're speculating. And yes, women are overweight. Women do present themselves with pre-existing conditions. Women do have HIV. Women have multiple pregnancies. But there are the doctors and the hospitals, as well as the healthcare system itself, And policies such as Medicare, Medicaid, and now we have the Affordable Care Act, but we don't really know.
And Eleanor, I agree with you. You're advocating from a public health standpoint that we need to have systems in place so that we can understand the problem so that we can find solutions. And you're not going to find argument here about that for sure. Lisa, thanks for giving us a call, and your comments are on point. Let's talk to Derek from Hatboro, PA, who has a child injured at birth. Derek, welcome to Court Radio.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well, thanks. You have a comment, question? What's going on?
I actually was just listening, and I actually said that if they actually give their number, I'm going to call because, I don't know, it hasn't really been mentioned much, our situation, and I've got to put it out there. We've been through, hell and back with our kids. We have a 4-year-old boy, a 3-year-old boy, and a 2-year-old girl. Now, our girl, at birth, she was born premature. And not only when she came out of the womb, you know, she was taken right away from us and, you know, not told anything about what, you know, what was going on with her. And, you know, here, you know, she went to the NICU, the Newborn Intensive Care Unit in Abington Hospital. And she was there for probably about the first 2.5 months of her life. And we weren't allowed some nights to even go see her. We weren't allowed to feed her some nights. Other nights we went there, we saw splints on her. Other nights we went there, we saw her strapped down to a table with 3 big straps, you know, and being a little baby, I mean, she's not going to move anywhere, you know, in order to hurt herself. So long story short, this is still going on. We actually still have child services in our lives because we were at 3 months, we actually brought her home, and something that looked a little funny in her arm, and we had rushed her to the hospital, and they, for some reason, did a full-body x-ray on her and found out that she had 3 broken ribs, broken wrist, a chipped kneecap, fractured skull, and all these things happened. They were all 3-month-old breaks, and we had only had her home for about 2 weeks, you know, so it's this ongoing process. We still have child services in our lives, and we're being told to do this and that. We followed their orders, you know, for, you know, a year and a half now, and it's just, how does anybody know that this didn't happen at birth? You know, how come we were 100% accused of everything, and I don't even know how we were because we didn't even have her at home with us. And, you know, it's absurd how I feel that somebody working that those few nights, I mean, we even have pictures of this, of her with splints and everything, and strapped down to the table, and, you know, this and that. And
well, here's Derek, here, first of all, let me send you my condolences, and that I definitely hope that everything takes a turn for the better for you and for your family and for your daughter. But let's let Dr. Kristoff jump in here. She had a comment she wanted to make, and then I want to follow up with something as well. Go ahead.
Well, I wanted to ask if a full workup, I'm sure, probably was done. There are some conditions where babies are born which predispose them to have fractures. And so when that occurs, usually hospitals take the initiative and do a full workup. But if the baby did not have those fractures prior, it is the responsibility of the hospital to investigate. You know, so it's very stressful for you and your family, but take it more as if the hospital is doing their job to make sure they protect the interests of your child.
I want to just say that, you know, when in doubt, from a legal perspective, a lot can be discovered when you consult with an attorney over the possible birth injury of your child, or where its etiology is, where it comes from. Because one of the things that we do when we investigate potential birth injuries is we attempt to ascertain whether it was a preventable injury or whether it is a disease or natural process that's occurring without negligence. So what I'm saying is, if you don't know why she's suffering with the problems she has, perhaps it's something that can be investigated, at least to give you peace of mind and an answer to that question. By all means, give us a call during the week, Derek, at 215-227-2727. 1-800-327, where my team of birth injury lawyers can take a look at the medical care and see what's going on. 215-227-2727. Thanks, Derek, for giving us a call, and have a great Sunday.
You too. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Let's get Larry on the line, who's got a comment about maternal mortality. Hey, Larry, welcome to Court Radio.
Hello. How are you? Good morning.
Morning to you, sir. What's going on? What's your comment?
My comment is about the death rate. We're 39 among women. And African-American women, I think their rate is high. It has a lot to do with our diet. We have so many chemicals and so many foods that we eat. It has to affect the body's chemistry somewhere in the line. And I'm pretty sure giving birth to a child takes all the strength and everything a woman needs to have a child at a natural birth. Our diet is high in fat, high in cholesterol, high in sugar. I suggest that we have more raw food. We need the information to get out to our people. I juice every morning raw fruits and vegetables myself. You guys gave a statement about Naked. A lot of people was asking me about Naked when I was telling them about juices. I actually emulsify so I can get all the fiber from it. And I couldn't answer the question, but the question was answered this morning when you said that they have to take the name All Natural from their products because it's not all natural. But I kind of figured that anyway. But my comment is our diet. If we can conquer that, we can curb some of the numbers. I'm not going to say that's going to be complete, eradicate the situation, but I just think a lot can be placed on our diet.
Larry, thanks for giving Court Radio a call. Thanks for being a listener. We're going to jump back now to Dr. Kristoff and Eleanor Hinton Hoyt. Go ahead.
Yes, I actually agree with the caller that if we can improve our diet as Americans, we can see a large decrease in a lot of conditions, and ultimately that will affect our maternal mortality in this country.
Yeah, I was going to say it would be widespread on all health care issues.
Absolutely.
I think diet has to do with a lot of our problems.
It does.
Increased obesity, diabetes, just the whole healthcare system and
Absolutely.
The costs involved in it.
Absolutely. Yeah. The Let's Move initiative by Michelle Obama not only addresses children, but it also includes pregnancy and having your body prepared for pregnancy and maintaining your health during pregnancy. You can exercise during pregnancy. We don't recommend you starting a new exercise program when you're diagnosed with pregnancy. But if you're already exercised, we recommend that you continue. You can do some low-risk activities such as walking. But maintaining a healthy body is essential and critical in also having a healthy baby.
215-263-1003 gets you into the studio. We'll answer your questions one at a time. Let's talk to Theo from Camden. Hey, Theo, welcome to Court Radio.
Good morning. Good morning. I think I've got something a little bit lighter than infant mortality and, birth mother mortality.
Well, that's why I took you, because we were ready for something a little more, a little lighter. Go ahead, Theo. Tell us what's on your mind.
Okay. All right. A couple of weeks ago, I took my car to be serviced. They gave me a loaner car to get back to work. Now, somehow, I ended up leaving the service station without signing their contract for the loaner vehicle. So I don't get in an accident in their loaner vehicle or anything like that. Take the car back. And I want to say last Friday, and this is about 3 weeks after I went to the car service place, somebody from the dealership called me and said, hey, you've got a ticket for $140 for running the stop sign. And they said that, so I said, well, how do you know it was me? And they said, well, they've got it on video, and I'll give you this number. And you can go to their website, and you can look at you with this violation. I go to the website. The video is no longer there. The car dealership is kind of hounding me to pay, this ticket. And I just, want to get an idea of what my options are or what I should do or in terms of trying to address this situation.
Wow, you have a lot of nerve calling about something like that when we're talking about... No, I'm only kidding. I'm only kidding, Theo.
Trying to get out of a ticket that you incurred while you...
You stop sign running guy, you.
Well, the thing is, by them paying the ticket, like, I didn't get an opportunity to view...
We're
this,
fighting
this violation, yeah. if it indeed happened.
I think
and
you're
I
absolutely.
I didn't get an opportunity to fight this ticket,
you're...
which I would have had to do if they would have
right.
sent me the ticket versus the car dealership.
You're right.
I agree with you.
I do agree with that.
And I think that that makes a heck of a lot of sense. And if they've already paid the ticket and taken that right away from you, and you don't have a signed contract, I really don't think they have a legal leg to stand on. However, if they were to sue you, and I'm not suggesting they're going to, but if they brought you into small claims court or district court in Camden, and they had a contract, and they showed that you were the legal renter of that car between, or they asked you, hey, Theo, were you renting the car from, you know, July 1st to July 20th? And you'd say yes. And then they show that the ticket occurred on July the 14th. Would that be enough without anything more, just that you were, you know, the renter of the vehicle? I don't think it is, because I think they have to put you actually behind the wheel on the day of the accident, and you could have let somebody else use the car. So I think that if you hush up and keep your mouth shut and you walk into court and you say, look, they don't have proof that I was the driver, I want this case dismissed, I think it gets dismissed. And I think they know that, and I think that's why they're not going to probably do that, because they don't have a legal leg to stand on. So really all you need to do is sit pat and let that thing happen.
I'm going to end up doing the right thing. If they show me this ticket and it's given, because I know I was the one driving the car, if they show me this ticket, because the other thing is, even if I tried to fight it, I don't know how you fight on behalf of the dealership for a ticket that they already paid.
But I'm with you, though. I disagree with Dean a little bit on this. If they sue you in small claims court and you have to go there, I think a judge might very well agree with them. You know, maybe not agree with the concept that they took away your right to fight the ticket, but since they already paid it, if they can show that you rented the car, most rental agreements don't allow you to have the car with anyone else, and they say in the agreement that you're responsible for anything that happens.
If I only signed that pesky agreement, then...
Right. See, you didn't have the agreement, though, and that's what I think Dean's ultimate thing is.
Well, and besides,
with no agreement...
But besides which, I don't think we should just poo-poo, if I may.
Poo-poo. Okay.
Yeah.
You
sometimes,
said that.
Sometimes you have
you,
to poo-poo things.
You mocked me for saying that once.
No, I'm... You know, listen, I didn't go to Washington High School, but even I... I can use poo-poo once in a while. All right, listen, if Theo had gone to his local district justice,
yes,
and he had fought this ticket, and he threw himself on the mercy of the court and said, look, you know, I'm a hardworking guy, and I guess I may have, you know, given a slowdown but not a full stop at the stop sign, but please, you know, have mercy on me. The judge might have said, oh, you know what, Theo, this is your first ticket.
Right.
I will have mercy on you. And that happens all the time, does
sure.
it not?
It does. It
okay,
does.
So Theo, you can really keep your head high. You don't have to do the right thing, because the right thing...
do the wrong thing, Theo. Listen to you.
No, but...
Yeah, I've never heard a lawyer say that.
Right.
I don't mean it that way, but Theo, they took away your right to plead to the court, and you know now they're just saying, look, we paid it, you pay us, but that you really should have had the right to pay that. They should have given you a chance to fight this, and if they didn't give you a chance, I don't think you owe it. Theo, that's my take on it. Thanks for calling Court Radio.
Thank
and
you.
Have a great Sunday. 215-263-1003. Now we're going to transition back.
I don't know how you can possibly do that, but let's do it.
Okay, well, you change your tone.
Yeah, yes.
And you get a little more serious. Okay. We have Eleanor Hinton Hoyt from Washington, D.C., who's really the president and CEO of Black Women's Health Imperative, and Dr. Christoph from Philadelphia.
So
no longer previously of Temple University.
We only say that because we're Temple right. grads. So
yes.
That's why we have to.
And she dissed them. But she's now going enrolled as a student in the public health program at Drexel University.
But, yes. But I guess my question to both of you, what is, when we get to this point, we it's almost over the show, what's being done to try and combat this problem?
Okay. Well, there's a lot that actually is being done. One, on the federal level, the Joint Commission is actually evaluating and actually keeping tabs and surveying hospitals for indications for elective cesarean deliveries, complications related to maternal pregnancies, which is fairly new within our system. So it's actually being mandated that physicians actually follow the protocol. Although we've had, you know, systems in place and protocols in place for many years, we know that sometimes there have been deviations from the norm, but now we're actually keeping a watch, and that's going to have an effect on the reimbursement to the hospitals. So now
anything
it's
that improves,
hit the
anything that hits the pocketbook,
that,
you know.
Always, yeah.
David and I are big proponents of that. We're going to take a break, folks. We're going to be right back. 215-263-1003. Not too late. Get your calls in. 215-263-1003. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
I'm Dean Weitzman from My Philly Lawyer. If you've been the victim of a medical mistake, getting proper care matters. Understanding your rights matters. And getting just compensation that provides for your future matters. That's why your attorney matters. If you're suffering because of a serious medical mistake, call My Philly Lawyer at 215-227-2727. Choosing the right legal representation is critical to getting the compensation you deserve. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
If you've been injured, the road to recovery can seem long. At United Therapy Centers, we're here to help. Call us 877-510-7764. With leading-edge technology and our team approach, we provide the highest level of patient care with a pain management program developed just for you. If you've been injured, we can help. Call United Therapy Centers toll-free 877-510-7764. United Therapy Centers, get on the road to recovery.
Are you in a financial legal squeeze? Unable to work because of an accident with your legal case still not settled? Lawsuit Funding Solutions can help you pay the bills while you wait. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 877-697-7352. It can take time for a lawsuit to settle. Lawsuit Funding Solutions is here to help you get back on track. And you won't owe them a thing if your case doesn't settle or you don't receive a judgment. Get out of the squeeze today. Call 877-697-7352.
If you've been injured on the job and are entitled to workers' comp, you need someone fighting for you from the start. Call Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Don't rely on your employer or insurance company to get it right. Call 215-512-1500. If you're entitled to workers' comp or it's being challenged, Jeffrey Gross can help get the money you deserve, and he won't get paid unless you get paid. Call 215-512-1500. Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law, representing Pennsylvania's injured workers for more than 20 years.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman, on Old School 100.3.
Old School 100.3. 215-263-1003. Hey, did you know that starting September, we're going to be on three stations?
Yes. Yep, I did know that.
Yeah, I know. We're going to be on Hot and Praise at the same time that we're on Old School. It's a medley of Radio 1. 215-263-1003. I want to grab Eleanor Hinton Hoyt in Washington. Hello, Eleanor.
Hello.
I wanted to hear what your take is on what's being done to eradicate this problem, or what needs to be done, maybe, if you don't think it's being done now. Go for it.
Well, I think several things are happening, and I agree that for the first time we are really looking at this problem, and one of the things that's being done is that the media is picking it up, so I'd like to thank you for elevating the conversation on this. The other thing I think that is happening is that we are beginning to recognize midwifery. And particularly in the Affordable Care Act, that there are other health care providers other than OBGYNs who provide more culturally competent care and who ought to be included in the mix. So I think the whole notion of midwives being an alternative as well as a credible option And then birthing centers are being considered as a likely source outside of the hospital for low-risk pregnancies and births. And so those are three things that I think that certainly will make a difference. I agree that we need to get a handle on making sure women go into their pregnancies well, having the right kind of healthy bodies as well as weight management so that we can ensure that they have healthy pregnancies and healthy outcomes.
Okay. That's I would assume that in addition to all that, we need some more recognition. You can't have too much recognition. And while I like the fact that we're bringing this to the public's attention, I don't think it's I personally don't think it's enough. I haven't heard it on mainstream media that much, so that's the key.
Yeah, I think it's something that's going to have to come into conversation from all avenues, from the government to personally in our lives, all levels, the persons who initiate the healthcare policies, all of those factors are going to have a play in our health system in this country and ultimately affect our maternal mortality.
All right, guys, we got to try Kassan from Philly, who's been on hold forever. Kassan, welcome to Court Radio.
Hello?
Hey, told you we'd get you on. How are you, Kassan?
Okay, it's actually Joel.
Joel.
Man.
Hold on, Joel.
Oh.
Kassan.
Hello, good morning.
See,
Joel's not happy right now.
Joel almost snuck in, but we got rid of Joel. Joel, we'll be back to you someday. If we don't get to you, Joel, call us next week where we'll be on the same time, same place, 7 a.m. Court Radio. All right, Kassan, go for it. What's going on, sir?
Okay, this is what's going on. About 10 years ago, I signed a contract at Bali Total Fitness. And when I signed the contract, the sales rep or the agent or whoever the guy is assigned to, whoever it's called, he tells me that he says, yeah, this contract here is a pay-as-you-go contract. And, you won't be held. This is not a monthly thing. This is not like a type of contract where, you know, I'm legally bonded to pay this certain amount of money or I got to be here a certain amount of time. At the time that I signed this contract, I was only 17. Now, he tells me this because their original contract, they said you have to be 18 or older. You know, he said, because I'm 17, I'm eligible for this one.
So, Kassan.
I believed him. He was a persuasive person.
Kassan, we have to get to your question because time is running out. It's ticking away on you.
We already can foresee what the issue is here. You're in the contract. You can't get out of it. They're charging you money. You haven't been there in ages, right?
What's the
10 years later? Now I'm getting these debt collectors. They're like, "Yeah, you always like
10 years later."
Yeah,
and I'm trying to get in contact with Bally's. They don't even exist anymore.
No, they were bought by LA Fitness. So forget you have Bally's. And you got it with debt collectors, and they're little hound dogs that don't give up, and they don't really listen to logic or legal imperative. So forget that. You don't even have conversations with them.
Right.
Send them a letter. And remember, everything has to be sent certified mail, return receipt requested. Otherwise, you never sent it. Send them a letter and send a letter to all the credit reporting agencies. You're going to have to do a little work. And you're going to have to say that you do not owe this debt. You dispute this debt. You do not owe this debt. You do not acknowledge this debt. And the reason is that you entered into a contract before you were of legal age. And that's really the end of the story. Because you can't legally enter a contract at 17 that will be binding on you. Okay? So whatever they told you, and one last lesson, and then I'm going to let you go. When you sign a contract and you got somebody talking in your ear, whatever that contract is, whether it's a car salesman, a Bally's salesman, a naked juice salesman, whatever the naked Jews are, I don't care. But whatever it is, you're what they tell you doesn't mean jack, okay? Whatever you sign is the only thing that's important. When they tell you things and then you sign a contract, whatever they told you is meaningless. if it's not contained in the written document. They don't have the power to modify the document before you sign it, okay? If they're going to modify it, it has to be in writing. If they tell you things and then you sign, whatever you sign is what's binding, all right?
All right.
All right, take care. Good luck
with
that. Hey, we're running out of time. I got to thank our guest, Dr. Christoph, Eleanor Hinton Hoyt. Thank you so much for joining us in Washington.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Drexel, thanks for joining. Come back when you have your next degree. And
I will.
And hopefully the problem will be less, you know, we'll be able to talk about success on its way with this issue.
Okay.
I hope so, too.
And Eleanor has a website. Eleanor, you want to give your website out?
Please. www.blackwomenshealth.org.
Wow, that's easy.
Tune it in.
Okay. Thank
right.
you.
Thanks, Eleanor. Take care. All right, folks, we're out of time. My friend E. Stephen Collins and Philly Speaks is coming up next.